For those of you who've ever read Jeremiah, this is kind of the idea some of us might have in our minds of this prophet of doom and gloom, who was very much kind of fighting an uphill battle. He was opposed. He was a young man when he started his ministry. He had to contend against so much opposition. And the message he made to the, gave to the people of Jerusalem was not always very well received. And in this passage here, there's kind of a long-term forecast and there's a more short-term forecast. The long-term is, yes, you're in Babylon, you'll be there for quite a while, but you will be restored to the land where you came from. There'll be a restoration of the people. The short-term prophecy is this: settle down. Make yourselves at home. Now, the trouble is, God doesn't always give us a very long-term vision. It does happen sometimes in places like this. It's quite a rare thing. But when it does, knowing what's going to happen a long way in the future can be a mixed blessing. There's a story about a president in a nation in Africa who went to consult with a man in his country who was a prophet of some kind. And he said, well, what does the future hold for me, for my presidency? And the prophet said to him, he closed his eyes and took a deep breath and said, I can see a television program about your life, about your achievements, about how good the nation is under you, about all the great things you've done for this country. And the president was like, yes. And the wise man said, I don't know how they do it. You've only been dead for 10 minutes. Seeing too far in the future can sometimes be a mixed blessing. It can send us confused signals. Judah was going into an alien world. Here's a picture of modern day Iraq, which is what Babylon was before. They were going into an alien world, a long, long way from Jerusalem. The culture in Babylon was very different from theirs. Babylon was a place of great learning. It was a place of great beauty. It was a place also of worldliness. If you look in the book of Revelation, Babylon is the essence of worldliness, and it's a thing that God and the church is fighting against, this worldliness, completely different attitude to life. Because Judah had a faith based on God, on holiness, on being right before God. And they were going into a culture where anything goes. They're going into a culture where seeking your own pleasure was the idea. And the message from Jeremiah is this, and I love this expression, ride the rap. You ever heard that expression before? It's great. It basically means just put up with it. Make yourselves at home. Do you remember those Hamlet cigar adverts? Do you remember those? Where somebody was often in a very, very awkward or difficult position and they thought, oh, what the heck, and had a cigar. It feels almost like that. You are in an alien land, a culture that's different from yours. But just settle there, because God is blessing you. And this verse 7 says this: seek the peace and prosperity of the city. God wants them to flourish in this place. And the verse that we all know, this verse about, I have plans to prosper you, speaks of God's long-term blessing and future on this nation. So there they are in Babylon, which is like a cross between Oxford University in Las Vegas. And it's this idea of the salt water and the fresh water, this line where the two things meet. And last week, Graham was talking about our commission. I don't know if you remember, Jesus' great commission. He has all authority, and we're to baptize, and we're to make disciples. If we're baptized, a bit like Judah, we're sort of set apart, aren't we? With a different kind of water, with the fresh water and the salt water meeting each other. But how are we different? Well, the Bible has a lot of passages which tell us how different we are. In Peter, We hear that we're a royal priesthood. We're set apart. Paul tells us that we're not to conform to the world around us. We're to be transformed. Paul also tells us we're a new creation. We're different. There's something different about us. It's as different as fresh water and salt water between us and the world around us. There's that difference in us. So how are we different in everyday life, on our front lines? How are we different? Sometimes we might not feel very different. We might feel exactly the same as other people around us. In fact, we might even think some of the people around us are a bit more cheerful and holy and better than we are. I've had days like that myself. But we have something in us that God has given us that makes us different. We have a hope. See, it's not enough to be hopeful. We can all be hopeful. But to have a hope is something that God has given us. People like, a lot of non-Christians do like reading about the stuff that atheists have written, people like Dawkins have written. Because the thinking is, these people have kind of done away with God. We've proved God's not there, so just get on and enjoy your life. And for a lot of us who are outside of the faith, there's this feeling of, oh, well, that's all right then. I don't need to feel condemned anymore. I don't need to feel condemned or challenged in my life. But I want to tell you this. God is 1% challenge and 99% love. If you throw away God, you're missing out on all the hope and all the love that God brings. Missing out on eternal life and life here on earth. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy called Gene Roddenberry. Gene Roddenberry was the guy who invented Star Trek. You think most of us have seen Star Trek, if the original version, if not all the more recent incarnations of Star Trek. Gene Roddenberry was a man with a vision. He had this vision of humanity overcoming our differences. He had this vision of black and white overcoming racial problems. He had this vision of political powers, the Americans and the Russians all burying the hatchet and being friends and holding hands and going into space together. And that was a great thing in the 60s when there was so much trouble, when there was the Cold War, when there was civil unrest in America between blacks and whites. This was a great thing to have. But how's his vision worked out? Not so well. We still got the same political problems, haven't we? We've still got the same divisions, even just in America, never mind the rest of the world. We're not even building space shuttles anymore to go into space with. His vision was great, but it's not enough to be hopeful. We need a real hope. Our hope is in the kingdom of God. The people of Judah had their hope that one day they'll be restored back to Jerusalem, back to their homeland. But our hope is in the kingdom of God. So that's our baptism. We're different. We're fundamentally different from the people around us. But what about the other part of the commission, about making disciples? You see, in the passage, Judah was told, yes, settle down. Yes, pray for those around you. Yes, ride the rap. Have a Hamlet cigar. Just relax where you are. But they weren't told to convert people around them to their faith. That may have happened. But we are called to something more than that. We're not called to just to live it out in this world and survive. We're called to make disciples of those around us. We're called almost to reach out into the salt water around us and fetch people. The frontline course we're doing in church and in small groups, of course, is very helpful because it helps you think about, where is my front line? Where is that line where the two contrasting things meet? It's challenged me because some of us might have got to that point of being in church for so long, we haven't got any non-Christian friends. And that can happen. And it's great that we're immersed in this life of church, that we're surrounded by people we love and care about in church, and we're like a family together. But it's good to have non-Christian friends. It's good to mix with people outside of church, to have that front line, to have that encounter with people who are not of the faith. And let's face it, there's more of them than there are of us. And a lot of the people outside of the kingdom of God need love and need friendship. And above all, they need the good news that we have, don't they? So it's a challenge today to think about, where are my non-Christian friends? Where's my front line? Where are the people that I need to get alongside? I've been reading a book recently. I know it's unusual for me to read a book. Called Emerging Churches. It's a wonderful idea. And this book gives lots of examples of things here and in America where churches, the idea of an emerging church is you kind of go outside of the church building and take church to people outside here. So people go to pubs, they go to sports clubs, yeah, they go to all sorts of places which is not what we think of as being church, and they take the gospel there. It sounds brilliant, doesn't it? Because a lot of people are frightened of coming into church, aren't they? But it's hard work. It's really, really, really hard work. And if you read a lot of the stories of these emerging churches, it's been a struggle. It's been very difficult because they're taking the kingdom of God out to the front line. But we know that Jesus has all authority. So when we find ourselves on the front line, whether it's in work, whether it's in family life, whether it's from having non-Christian friends, whether it's taking church out of church into the community, wherever it is, Jesus has authority. We mustn't forget that. We have good news, and Jesus has authority for us to take the kingdom to the front line, wherever it is. Our job is not to whip up that authority. Because Jesus has died, Jesus has risen, Jesus has all authority. The Great Commission was given after Jesus had come back from the dead. And that's the same Jesus that we worship today. The Jesus with that authority. It's not up to us to do Jesus' job. It's up to us to find that place, that front line, that place where the two kinds of water meet, the place where we know people who aren't of the faith, who might be interested, people who just need love. It's up to us to find our front line. But above all, we have a real hope. In Isaiah 52, it talks about this restoration of Judah. After the time when they've been in the land of Babylon, they come back and it says how lovely on the mountains at the feet of him who brings good news, because you are coming home. And it's the news of a restoration of the people. And we belong to that tribe, don't we? That tribe of Judah, who look forward to the restoration of God's kingdom, to God's kingdom ruling on earth. And one day, we're going home to God's kingdom. And what we're saying to people as we meet them on our front line is, come with us. Come with us into the kingdom.